This morning on this beautiful rainy morning, it's a day that the Lord has made, and it's a day that we come to gather together to worship the one true and living God. And I trust that's why you're here today, to worship God. And we call this our renewal meetings as we gather to be renewed and refreshed and ask God to do a work in us as individuals and also in us as a body of believers here at Bowmansville. So thank you for coming this morning. Mike will be coming in a minute to share during Sunday school. He'll also be sharing during our worship time this morning. So I'd just like to open with a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Mike. Father God, we do indeed come today to your house to worship you. And I pray that as we gather, that you would be in our midst, that your spirit would be at work. We invite your spirit here to do a work in each one of our lives as individuals and also as a body of believers here at Bowmansville, so we can be as individuals who you call us and desire for us to be, and also as a body of who you want us to be here at Bowmansville. So we look forward to your message that you're going to share with us through Mike. And I ask for a special, fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit and empowering of your Holy Spirit, that you would use Mike as your mouthpiece today to speak to us here at Bowmansville. So we pray that you would continue the work that you've begun in us. And we ask for your blessing upon our gathering today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mike?
Well, good morning, everyone. Is everybody awake? These are the kind of mornings where it's like hard to get going, huh? I was up at 5 this morning, and it didn't hit me. The tiredness didn't really hit me till I started driving over here in the rain and the windshield wipers, and I was like, it's not good. Okay. So I'm going to try to wake you guys up. But today I want to talk about profile problems. Specifically, I want to talk about social media. And so social media has kind of its own language to it. People use little acronyms rather than spell everything out. And a lot of people do this over texting as well. But just to see if you guys can, and some of these are rather old, so you should be okay, but you guys would know what ASAP means, right? FB means Facebook. GN, good night. I'm going to start looking at these guys up front here. All right, because I'm looking at you guys, you're like, okay. ASL, this is a tough one, ASL. Age, sex, location. And that's, a lot of times predators will use that, which is kind of scary. But JK, just kidding. IDK, I don't know. TNX, thanks. BRB, be right back. You're doing all right. Now, you can make this multiple different things, but we're going to say it the good way, okay? OMG. Oh, my goodness, okay? Some people would say the other way, but we're going to say it that way. BTW. By the way. Male. I just told you what that one is. M/F. Are you male or female? LOL. Laugh out loud. A lot of the older people knew what that was. That's how popular it's become. It's no longer LOL. It's, there's a name for it. FYI. NYNK. You never know. SD. Sweet dreams. W-A-D. Oh, see, now you're getting stuck. Without a doubt. Okay. L-M-K. Let me know. All right. And T-Y. Thank you. Yes, very good. And then we've got selfies, which are what? Pictures, right? Taking pictures. We've got hashtags, which are the pound symbol on the telephone, right? Hashtag, it's like tagging something. We've got likes, we've got posts, we've got tweets. There's a lot of language being spoken out there today, and some of which I believe is hurting the identity of humans and people. Science has even proven that social media is actually hurting us. What happens with social media is every time you post something and you get a like or a comment, you get an endorphin rush, almost like a high. And so what happens is people post more and more and more, and they get addicted to looking at who liked their posts, who commented. I mean, those of you, how many of you have Facebook or some type of social media? Let me just see your hands. All right. Yeah. So when you post something, do you ever see a notification come up and you're like, I want to know what they said? Does that ever happen to any of you? Happens to me. I'm like, I wonder what they said. Did they like it? And even more so, did they comment on it? That's even better, right? And so the problem with Facebook and all this other social media is that it can become really impersonal. And it's affecting a lot of young people that we're seeing, especially in this generation, because I grew up into the internet and into social media. Young people are just given it. So it's like an instant impulse kind of thing. Plus, young people, your brain is, this brain is still forming. And so their consequence and thinking through processing is not quite there yet, so they're very impulsive. And so they will post some stuff, they will say things without even realizing it. Some of the popular social media out there is Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. There's a new one called TikTok, where TikTok is just a bunch of videos. See the youth, they're all smiling down there. They know what TikTok is, yes? Yeah. YouTube, you can use that. But TikTok is the newest one. It's interesting that these Facebook and other things are, the social media was created that we could connect more as a people. The problem is it's actually causing more disconnect than ever. And I wanted to grab my phone as an illustration. As far as like cell phones, I mean, when you think about it, how often do you see cell phones in people's hands? All the time. You know, I remember the days when our phones were attached to the wall. And we were excited when my parents got a long cord that we could walk with it. Then I could go into the bedroom, the door, shut the door and be in the closet, you know, with the long cord. Now everybody has their cell phone and everybody's looking down. In fact, they said that people, like young people, are developing what they call horns on their vertebrae, is what they're calling them, where they look down so much it's a protruding neck bone in there. And many of us are slipping into bad behavior because of Facebook. It's becoming a tool for sin. I think about how many people have these cell phones that can call 911 at any time, yet when there's a fight, when there's trouble, what do people do with their cell phones? Are they calling for help or what are they doing? Videoing. Yeah, they video it. And then they post it. Just this week at Ephrata, there was a massive fight. I had missed it by maybe 10 seconds, 10 to 30 seconds. I'd come in the aftermath of it where teachers were grabbing kids. But it was a group of two boys that had jumped a boy, and then a second boy got in, and then there was like four or five of them all fighting. And the one in the video, I saw the video. In the video, the one kid, the kid's on the ground, and another kid comes up and goes like this on his head into the cement floor. I mean, it was just a brutal fight. And the video went nuts. It went all over the school. Nobody called for help. Nobody did anything. They all took their phones out. They took a video of it, different angles, and then they passed it around that kids at the middle school saw it, and this was at Ephrata. Kids at Cocalico were getting the video, and they were passing it around. So I was kind of brokenhearted by that because there was no sadness about people hurting each other. It was actually funny to them. Kids were laughing about it, and then they, you know, make jokes about it and stuff. And so it's a desensitization of a lack of empathy, a lack of compassion. And again, we're seeing people as profiles and not people. And that's what the social media is doing. Did you know that Steve Jobs, one of the creators or CEOs of Apple, did not allow his kids to have cell phones? Did you know that? Fascinating, right? Everybody else can have them, but not my kids, because he knew the dangers of them, right? So, posts are becoming more important than people, like I said, and it seems harmless enough. You may even begin to shift a little in your chair thinking, Mike, you're getting too strict. But let me ask you, if it's bothering you already and I haven't said anything yet, then maybe it's a bigger issue for people than we realize. So I want you to bear with me. I want you to hear me out. This may not all apply to you, and that's okay, but I just want you to consider the dangers of what's happening in our culture. So one of the first things I want to talk about is how men view social media. And I'm not saying, let me just say this. I'm not saying that all men do this, but men are visual creatures, right? Are men visual? Yes, we're very visual. Women are emotions-based. Women can be visual too, but a lot of men are very visual, and a lot of men can be emotional too. But years ago, there was a name for men that went around and peeped in people's windows. What were they called? Peeping Toms, right? Poor Tom. If anybody's named here Tom, I apologize. And I believe that Facebook, Instagram, the internet in general is just another window that men are being able to peep into without getting caught. And so you have many girls posting selfies about themselves that are inappropriate. And when I mean inappropriate, and I obviously do not have any pictures to show you, but there's girls that do this thing where they kind of are looking at the camera, taking a selfie of themselves, and it's this come get me look. Do you know what I'm talking about? Women can have a look, and it's very seductive. There are girls on social media that are doing this. A lot of girls posting with their tongues out. I can't even tell you how many young girls. Most of their Facebooks are them going, what is that saying to a guy? What's that saying to a guy? And so men, they have these bedroom eyes, provocative dressed, and these sexy posts. Let me just say, as a man, it doesn't take much to get your mind going. And I want to encourage you, ladies, think about it. Do you or would you like being out with your husband or boyfriend and have them looking at other women like that? They would get yelled at, right? They would get in trouble for that. Yet they do it on their tablets all the time, and they're I'm just gonna say this: it's the 1 second rule. If you're taking a second glance, if you're pausing on that for 1 minute, you've already started a ritual and you've started to fall as a guy. And as a girl, too. Just, I don't want to gender specific this thing, but. Samuel 11:1-4 says, "The following spring, the time of the year came when kings go to war. David sent Joab and the Israelites' army to destroy the Amorites. In the process, they laid siege to a city of Reba, but David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, David got out of bed after taking a nap and went for a stroll on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath." Now, he didn't, I'm guarantee you, he didn't go, "Whoa, oh, shoot," and go back into his room. He noticed her, and I'm sure he watched her for some time. And a lot of people say, "Well, Bathsheba, what are you taking a bath, you know, for?" He's on the palace, man. He can see, you know, she's probably minding her own business. So basically, David sent somebody to find out who she was. He found out she was married, and he slept with her anyway. And then, obviously, we know the story. She became pregnant. David lingered and then lusted. And so, men, if you're using Instagram, Facebook, any social media to linger and to lust, it's a huge problem. Matthew 5:27-29 says, "You have heard that the law of Moses says, do not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even if it's your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it out. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Let us be men and not peeping Toms. Let us respect and honor women with our eyes, minds, and hearts. Because women, men get infatuated with parts and not the heart. And as men, as Christian men, we need to be in love with our sisters in Christ, the heart, the person, instead of focusing on these parts and seeing them as less than. So important, so huge. I want to also say this. All these social media things, they spark, in some men, they spark this desire to see more. And so, girls, be careful. We have to encourage our young women to be careful what you post. And then also, men, we have to be, you know, if this is triggering things, get rid of it. You don't need it. You know, have your wife have an account, and they can message you through that, whatever. But if you're taking a second glance, and then if it's triggering you into more things, and again, this whole morning is about screens. It's about how we've been obsessed with the computer and with internet and stuff. So obviously with men, this is a huge issue. And this is a diagram of pornography. This is a normal brain, the yellow there. The next one is a brain on heroin, and the third one is a brain on pornography. Now, you'll notice there's a lot of unhealthiness going on, and what that is there's pathways that are headed to the pleasure center of your brain. And so I'm not saying that heroin and pornography are the same thing, but what I'm saying is each one of those addictions creates these pathways to the pleasure center. It rewires your brain. And so pornography rewires people's brains, and they don't even realize it, to the point where when they're finally with their spouse, they cannot have arousal, or, you know, they need medication to help be aroused. They're even seeing in culture that people that are using arousal medication are in their 20s, guys in their 20s. And what is that saying? That's saying that pornography has ruined relationship with the opposite sex. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And I don't think the church talks about it enough, because it is a huge problem within our church. And I don't care what age you are, it's a huge problem. There was just the chief of police in Clay was just arrested for molesting a young boy. He's a retired chief of police. And he was in his, I think, late 60s. I guarantee you pornography had play into that. So this is a serious, serious thing. And the picture there kind of shows you how serious it is, and how we need to, as a church, We need to be talking about it. We need to be dealing with it. We need to be helping our men and women out with this. Otherwise, when you ignore it, it gets worse. One of my professors says that this area, Lancaster County, is one of the worst areas for perverted sexual acts. Why do you think that is? Because we don't talk about it. And a lot of it is strict religious people that are involved in these things. It's so hidden that the addiction gets worse and worse and worse, and nobody's talking about it because we don't talk about those things. We don't talk, we don't feel, we don't trust. Those are the three things we learn. And so it's developed a really, really difficult thing in our culture, and we have to get serious about it. And we're always so worried, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something, I am offended. I'm offended every day by the stuff that's being thrown out at me by our culture. And so we need to get our head out of the sand and be able to start attacking it with the truth of God's word, that this is not, what you're seeing there is not God's plan and does not provide satisfaction, but an emptiness and devastation. Now, how do women view? Years ago when there was a telephone, some of you probably remember, what were they called? Shared lines, party lines, you remember that? And how many of you trusted your neighbors not to listen to your phone calls? All the older folks are like, no, not at all. We had one neighbor, I guarantee you're thinking we had one neighbor that would always be listening. So these operators would patch you through back in the old days, and they would often listen to the conversations. You had to be careful what you said, and then they would gossip about it, right? And so for women, how women view, this is a place where we can see all kinds of info on people and then make judgments about it and gossip about it. I'm not saying all men are like that. I'm not saying all women are like that. But some women love to see what somebody else is wearing, where they're going on vacation, what car they're driving, what their kids are doing. Or they'll be like, oh, did you see what she posted the other day? Oh, my word, I did. It was ridiculous. And they're like back and forth. I know it's true. You probably have heard it. Like, oh, and then they put this in there just to make sure it's okay. We need to pray for her, right? We can talk about it. We need to pray for her. And so a lot of that happens in social media. They fall into the trap of what they call creeping on profiles or creeping on somebody else's Facebook or whatever to see what the other person is up to and saying. You might have people from your high school that you couldn't stand years ago that you look them up just to see how they're doing or, you know, whatever. You just kind of get into this pattern. And Proverbs 16:28 through says this, a troublemaker plants seed of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Proverbs 26:20, fire goes out for the lack of fuel and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. Again, it's a slippery slope. We could say, well, you know what? It's not my fault. If they would just not post it, then I wouldn't talk about it. Well, you know, you got to be in control of you. Okay, you can't be controlling what they do, but you can be in control of you and how you react to it. Some people are just looking for attention, and it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive, it's still attention. And guess what? The attention that they're looking for, if you're talking about it, they got it. Okay, so just realize that. Here's some of the dangers of social media, and I just want to go over these with you. We do a lot of comparing. Andy Stanley calls it the comparison trap. When we compare ourselves and our lives with someone else, You see someone else's profile and they're in a bathing suit and they look really good. And you're like, why can't I look like that? Or they're on another vacation, or they bought a vacation home, or they got a new car, and you just kind of compare yourself. Why can't we have that? Look how beautiful. Look what they did to their friend. Look what they did to their home. Look what car they bought. Look at the clothes they wear. Look at the jewelry they wear. It even gets as bad as look at what they're having for dinner. There's people that post, look at the steak I'm having, right? And I'm like, wow, I'm eating eggs, you know, for dinner. And, you know, you can get jealous of that, and you can kind of get down and depressed about it because I'm not like somebody else, or I don't have what they have. And the spirit of jealousy and covetousness comes out very easily. It's so dangerous. We soon say, I want that. In fact, I've seen people post shared engagement videos commenting that they wish they would find love like that, but it never will. In other words, people will post a video that they really found, they really liked about romance or something. You see these little emojis or whatever, and they're like, this is what I want in a guy. This is what I want in a girl. Oh, to find that. Well, guess what? You are never going to find a perfect guy, and you're never going to find a perfect woman. It's not possible. Why? Because we all sin, and we all are living a fallen world. The best you can get, okay, is somebody that's willing to continue to grow with you, okay? But you're never going to be perfect, okay? Even Larry is never going to be perfect. He's pretty close, but... Right? He just celebrated a birthday, right? Yeah. So every year he gets older, he gets more perfect. Right? He's turning red. This is what I was supposed to do, right? Okay. I was ordered to make him turn red. Deuteronomy 5:21 says, do not covet your neighbor's wife, do not covet your neighbor's house or land, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else your neighbor owns. There is a reason why this is a commandment and why coveting is a sin, because it destroys our life and makes us focus on worldly things instead of God. If we're constantly focused on what we don't have, we don't thank God for what we do have. We end up not being grateful for all the wonderful things that God has given us. Oh, I wish I was married. Oh, I wish I had this many kids. Oh, I wish. Man, aren't you just thankful for the health, for what God has given you, for the life that he's given you? The devil wants you to be dissatisfied. He wants you to be, I want Jesus plus this. Adam and Eve, same kind of theology when they sinned. They had God. They had a relationship with God. They walked with him in the garden. It was a beautiful thing. But then when the devil came, he said, yeah, you have God, but don't you want God and this? Yeah, we do. And that's where sin came in the world. And we're still choosing the same thing today. We say, I want God, but I want this also. Jesus plus. Is Jesus enough? That's what you have to ask yourself. Is Jesus enough? Another danger is narcissism. Now, this is a selfie. Do you notice anything weird about this selfie? Yeah. So this girl is taking a selfie in front of a casket. Who does that? She must have thought the flowers looked pretty or something. That is so sad, right? But that's narcissism. Narcissism means basically it's all about me. Do we live in a very narcissistic society? Yes. It's all about me. It's my pleasures, my wants, my desires. Get what you can get. Choose your stuff first. So important, right? That's what our world tells us. It's interesting. We get trapped in that very, very quickly because, like I said in the beginning, we love likes, we love comments. And you know, when you post something, we think it's an automatic fix. For our ego. I've seen girls post things like a really picture of themselves kind of like this without the casket and then write a comment or question, am I cute? I have such a temptation to grow. No, not really. Because what do they want you to say, right? And then all these guys and girls jump on, oh, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, thanks, hon, you know, or whatever. And they're like, all this thing. And you have to ask yourself this, why is having my ego stroke and having people give me warm fuzzies horrible? How could it ever get me in trouble? Because we end up chasing after man's approval instead of God's. And soon people's opinions matter more than God's. Then we don't get what we want, what we're looking for, or we get criticism put down and we're devastated, can't handle it. Did you notice that our society of young people and even the 20s, even some of the 30s, that they can't handle criticism? They can't handle, you hurt my feelings. You know, don't hurt my feelings. So we have to make sure everybody's feelings aren't hurt, right? Because we become so narcissistic. Can I tell you, how many of you have had your feelings hurt? Have you gotten over it? Sure, you gotten over it. Some of these people cannot get over it, you know? There's people in my life that have been offended, and they're still not over it. They still can't get over it. Living for people's approval is exhausting and unfulfilling. It's exhausting living for people's approval. Constantly desiring them to like me, to want me, to accept me, to appreciate me. You know, it's like a hamster on a wheel. If you ever see those stupid things running on the wheel, they fly on those things. Do they ever get anywhere? No, they don't. And that's how it literally is when you chase after man's approval. Because not everybody's going to like you. There are going to be some people that you're going to annoy. I annoy a lot of people. I can be a very strong cup of coffee to a lot of people, especially in the morning. I'm like a dog in the morning. When I first see somebody, I'm excited to see them. Because it's like I was asleep all night and didn't have any interaction with people, and now I do. And so I'm very excited. For introverts, that can be very, very frustrating and very, very annoying, especially when they didn't get their coffee. I know my wife in the morning, and maybe I told you this many, many times, but she's usually the first person I see, and some mornings I get very excited to see her, and sometimes she'll just be like, I did not have my coffee yet. And, it's pretty bad some mornings, but we develop what we call false pride. We become whiny. We come across as pretty much pathetic, and then people start to really push us away. Needy. We become needy. I got to have everybody meet my needs, but I'm not going to meet your needs. In fact, I've seen young people that have children, and the children are meant to meet the parents' needs, not the other way around. And guess what those kids are going to grow up to be? Same kind of thing, where they're going to look to others to fill their needs. Right. Another issue is conflict resolution. I have heard so many sad stories about cyberbullying. One of the things is cyberbullying. There was a girl that used to come to one of our youth centers at Yakron. Her name was Juliet, and she had moved away, and she was cyberbullied to the point where she committed suicide. Devastating. Beautiful young girl. Devastating. And it's all because people have the power to post whatever they want. You know, kids will tell people to go kill themselves. Why don't you go kill yourself? Go drink bleach. Nobody likes you anyway. Happens all the time. And people are devastated. There was this one guy that broke up with a girl, or she broke up with him, and then he posted on Facebook. He said, I hope the next guy you date rapes you, you get pregnant, and then he leaves you. Why would you say that? Just because he has the power and the right to say that doesn't mean he should, and that should be illegal, I believe. Like, that should not even be okay. He should be fined or something like that, or be kicked off. Young people have lost the ability, and not just young people, but adults too, have lost the ability of how to do confrontation. They don't know how to, because confrontation is all done on this. Guys and girls will break up with each other on the text messages. Guys and girls will ask each other out on text messages. you know? I wonder if some guys text their future father-in-law and say, hey, would you mind if I marry your daughter? I'm like, man up. I had to do it. I was nervous, too, and I had to do it. But they have lost their ability to be able to talk to someone face-to-face. In fact, statistically speaking, they have seen a rise in social anxiety and generalized anxiety disorder among 8 to 14-year-old young people because of social media. A lot of it is because of that. Not all of it, but a lot of it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal. So if I'm on my phone and I'm constantly dealing with people that way, and then I meet with them face to face, I don't know what to do. It's disconnect. It's a disconnect. A lot of people are posting their hurt and anger or problem with someone online, and then others jump on their bandwagon, and then they form like a back in the old days, a posse to go after this person and totally belittle and destroy this person's reputation. Bitterness and unforgiveness is a bitter poison that will eventually kill your relationships and your heart. We need to get back to dealing with our hurts face-to-face and stop all the gossip and the slander. Just because I don't agree with you on something doesn't mean that I hate you, right? What's your favorite color? I don't like you anymore. I'm red. I like red. I don't know why you would ever like blue. That's stupid. You must be stupid if you like blue. You know, that's as stupid as people act. By the way, blue is a nice color. But that's how some people act. That's stupid. Like, that's just ridiculous and childish. It's almost like my daddy could beat up your daddy, you know, kind of thing. Matthew 18:15 says, if any believer sins against you, go privately and point out the fault. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Another issue is opinionated, and I have to be careful with this one, as this is a delicate one, as opinionated is that people will get on social media and they'll post their beliefs about something. 2020 is going to be a horrible election year. I am dreading social media in 2020. I dreaded it in 2016 because everybody had all this venomous stuff to say. And then the Christians would jump on and they would try to defend, and it doesn't work. Like, somebody would post something about abortion or homosexuality, and then a Christian would try to get on and they would say their opinions about things, or a Christian would get up and they would start quoting scripture on social media. Guys, I get it. I know you want to stand firm in your beliefs, but social media is not where it's going to be. If you really have a problem with somebody, take them out for coffee and talk to them face to face. Social media doesn't work. Because what happens is, they can't hear your voice, right? They can't hear your tone of your voice. They can't see your reactions. They can't see your face. And did you know that most of our communication is not verbal? It's like 7% are words. The rest is your body language and your tone of voice and your attitude behind it. So when you try to get on, and I want to tell you, there's been many, many times where I've been fired up about something and I so badly wanted to respond, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. Because somebody else did, and I saw the way they got slammed, right? My daughter made the mistake, I think, one time of commenting on an abortion thing, and she got just hammered. And it just doesn't work. I'd rather have a conversation. Besides, let me be honest with you, you're not going to change their minds with a post. You just ain't. It's with relationship that we build. When we build relationships and start talking to people, that's where we make a difference. But we think by doing the quick fix of posting something, we're doing our religious duty, right? We're being evangelists. Okay, are you? Is that easy for you? Because that's what it is. It's easy. Talking to someone face-to-face and taking them out to coffee, that's the hard stuff. But is that what Jesus did? I got to wonder, would Jesus take people out for coffee, or would he get on his Facebook and post stuff? Ask yourself that question. How much time do we have? I didn't even ask. Wow. This went for us fast. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. People are more than a profile. We were built for relationship, and social media screens take that away. It's the devil's ploy. Are social media all bad? No, they're not. I mean, we can use social media positively. Number one, we can use it for prayer. You see a post that concerns you, go into it in prayer. If a prayer request you want to put out there, put it out there. Sometimes I'll put my hand near the screen and I'll pray for that person. But prayer is a key thing that you can do with your social media. I would also say, before you post anything, spend some time thinking about, why am I posting it? Am I posting it for my own self, for my narcissistic personality, or no, I shouldn't say it like that, for my own selfish wants and needs, or am I posting it for just for fun or for a reason? Evaluate that. Use Facebook and social media to encourage others. Send a Bible verse. Send a positive quote to somebody, or that's a great way to encourage someone's day. Another thing is to share your faith journey with somebody. You know, that's a great way to share what God's been doing in your life. Share not just the good stuff like the mashed potatoes and the steak on the plate, but share what's going on in your life, the hard stuff, and how God's bringing you through. Those are the powerful posts. Those are the posts that makes a difference, and those are the posts that says, I'm not perfect, but I got God on my side. You can also use social media for relationship building. If this was Katie's friend years ago that moved to another country, she would use social media, FaceTime, and those things to still keep in contact with her. That's a great way. You might have family over in other parts of the country or even the world. Social media, internet, those kind of things are a great way to stay connected, and I want to encourage you in that. And like I said, pray before you post. And the challenge may be for some of you today is that do you need not just a Facebook fast, but a social media fast? We've done that. We've taken 3 weeks or so where we've had no social media. And it's so refreshing. I would encourage you guys to do that. To say, I'm going to take a break from it and then see how I feel. So that's what I have for you today. It's a really quick presentation, but I hope that helps you and encourages you. Thanks. You want to pray or should I? Okay. Father God, thank you. Lord, we praise you for the technology that's out there because it allows us to be able to reach out to people we haven't maybe seen for a while or to be able to encourage someone. But I pray that with all the power that it has, that we would use it for the glory of God instead of the glory of ourselves. I pray, Jesus, that you would give us a wholesome mentality, that we would always see people as children of God and not as things to use for our own selfish pleasures, that we'd be careful what we look at, we'd be careful what we speak, and that we would always present Jesus to those around us. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your grace, and may we walk in truth, and may we continue to connect with one another on face-to-face type relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.
So thank you, Mike, for sharing. We look forward to more at our 10 a.m. service. So take this time to stand and greet one another, and we look forward to gathering again at 10 o'clock.